On behalf of AICPA Information Management and Technology Assurance Division, this is Karen Percent. Our panelists, Audrey Ketcher, David Wood, and Torpy White, are here to talk about information technology and the Audit Committee. Welcome, Audrey, David, and Torpy. I'll start to ask you some questions, and we'll go around the room to discuss some of your answers. I'll call out your name as I go. So first question, why would audit committees pay attention to information technology? Audrey?
With the information technology today, the expansion of information technology, the expansion of the footprint of technology, it has become more than just an enabler. It's got a lot of benefits, a lot of efficiencies, but scaling the technology is also increasing the risk related to technology. We find all audit committees and boards are asking about technology, and in particular, many times, cybersecurity.
Thank you. David?
Yes, there's technology is used throughout the business nowadays. You have to understand it not only for reporting financial statements, but just conducting the overall business. And so the risk level has just raised so much more than it was in prior years. So beyond just the focus that we've had traditionally on SOX and financial reporting risk, we really need to take a broader look at the operational risks related to IT as well.
And Torpy.
Audit committees have a lot on their plate and they have a lot to worry about. And while IT operates in the background, it's ever changing and emerging so quickly and so rapidly that audit committees need to know what is in those emerging technologies that could affect them both from a positive and a negative standpoint. No organization is using IT less today than they were yesterday. And the advent of things like the Internet of Things is now reaching device level. So audit committees need to understand how is that affecting their organization and does it present risks or does it actually present a control for them to consider in the landscape of the audit environment. With those understandings, they can constantly monitor risks on a much more granular level than they were ever able to before. And that wonderful concept of continuous monitoring might actually come to fruition for them if they're able to leverage what those emerging technologies offer them. So IT should always be in the agenda for an audit committee meeting, and it's going to vary as to how much time is spent, but it should always be there.
That's great. Can you tell me more about what the audit committees may be asking you about?
So they're asking about, sometimes they're asking us where do we see the risk? Where would we prioritize particular categories of risk when it comes to IT? Because there are risks that are present that don't have anything to do with a physical device. The search for skills and personnel to manage and monitor IT is now becoming something that a lot of departments within organizations are starting to look at. The use of cloud technology is now so embedded in most organizations that it's not something that is esoteric anymore, and it can be a real benefit to most organizations, but they're asking us, what does that mean for us? What do we need to be concerned about? Because you're not just contracting with that one cloud provider, you're contracting essentially with all the subsequent cloud providers that they use. And the audit committee needs to understand that, and we're in a very good position to help them see what that picture looks like and understand where the risks are presenting themselves and whether they need to manage them on a granular level or at a very top level, depending on what the organization does.
Wow. What about you, Audrey? What are audit committees asking you about?
There are four primary questions they're asking. Number one, they're asking, has anything bad happened? And by the way, would we know? As you can see in the studies today, it can take up to and often an average of 200 days before it's really known about something bad happening with the technology. So that's number one. Number two, what's our cybersecurity exposure? And what have we done to reduce that exposure? So that's their second question. Number three, what's our breach response plan? And number four, have we prepared our people? We've got to remember, sometimes the weakest link is not the technology itself, it's our people and what we do.
Well, that is true. And David, how about you? What are they asking you about?
Yeah, obviously they're asking about cybersecurity, as Andre mentioned. And then some of the other elements I've been hearing about now are just the greater focus on T, asking what just a comparison of how they compare with their competitors around the cybersecurity, how they're handling it, how they're managing IT. Do they, you know, what percentage of their budgets are going to IT spend? Are they spending enough with the new risks that are out there? And do they have the right management structure? Meaning, do you have, besides a CIO, do you have a chief security officer? And how are they managing the security elements within the organization?
Well, that's great. I'm curious, how can we as technology professionals explain these issues to audit committees? Can you elaborate on that, David?
Sure. I think a real focus today is making sure the audit committee understands that as part of our financial statement audit that we traditionally do, our focus is only around that financial reporting risk. And so we're really briefly touching on security aspects that impact the cybersecurity side of things. So they need to understand that, especially if it's a public company and we're providing an opinion on Sarbanes-Oxley, that really doesn't guarantee that they have the right controls and infrastructure to help prevent and, more importantly, identify if there's some type of security event. And so we can help them understand that and work with them to determine if they're doing the right things to look into and understand if they're covering the right risk and what frameworks they're using, how are they monitoring that.
Audrey, do you have any suggestions on how to explain these complex technology topics?
Yes, and I'll complement what David's saying with the financial audit and the role there. As we, as accountants and advisors to our clients, oftentimes we're helping with the controls or the security front with IT, with finance, or with internal audit. As part of that, we're explaining very complex technology topics to the board. We still find it easiest to take it back to people, process, and technology. We focus on making sure there are no acronyms. We're using terms they know. And most importantly, we do some show and tell to uncover, unveil that technology that seems to be a mystery or a big risk to them.
And Torpy, how about you? Can you explain some the way you discuss these with the audit committee?
Following on with what Audrey just elaborated on, relating some of these complex topics to the personal level of an audit committee member, whether it's when they're using technology themselves, but more importantly, when they're using the technology the organization is providing them as a tool, we can start to help them understand what's happening when they're using that tool. And something as simple as the password and why we need complex passwords can be explained to them from the perspective of that's the gatekeeper for you getting into the network. So it is akin to opening the door to the office suite. Once you're inside, you now have access to a lot of things within that office, and that's what a password allows you to do within your network. So once they start to grasp concepts at that level, it's much easier to start to take them down the path of some other concepts that maybe they didn't understand prior to that, and you can use some of those same analogies to help them understand where they need to be concerned and what the audit department is doing to help them manage those risks.
I was just going to add that the other thing I've seen to help audit committees understand IT risk or cybersecurity risk is they're starting to look into bringing someone a part of the audit committee or the board that has a background in IT and can understand the risk and help educate other board members, or they will hire someone to play that role for them as a consultant. And, you know, as they get different reports or different communications, they can reach out to that individual to get a better understanding and maybe bring down the technical IT aspects to a business acronym for them to understand the risks involved with the discussions around IT.
So if I'm going to conclude on all of your discussion, it's really kind of simplifying the language, making sure that they can understand it clearly, and giving them avenues for which to communicate with the organization so that they can understand more or clarify something that they need. Is that correct?
Yes, very well said.
Going on to the organization risk assessment, how does IT rank in your organization? Is it in the upper right-hand quadrant in the red-hot area, or is it somewhere else? David?
You know, every day it seems like you open up the paper and you hear something related to an IT event, whether it's a security item or issues with an implementation of new technology. And so last few years, IT has jumped on the risk assessment spectrum. There's definitely more attention from the board wanting to, you know, more of a standing agenda, whereas in the past, it was probably something more involved if there was some type of large acquisition or large purchase of IT that the board wanted to hear about. Now it's just a standing agenda item on most boards that I'm familiar with. So definitely higher risk, more attention being paid, more money being spent on IT from a monitoring perspective.
And Torpy, what do you think?
I would agree with David that it is now becoming such a standard item because there's so many aspects to IT that are affecting the organization, whether it's a budget item, whether it's a staffing issue, whether it's a outsourcing issue, or it is an item that's in the news that the audit committee wants to make sure the organization is prepared for, that it is constantly being discussed, and the concepts have to be boiled down to how they're relative to that organization. So the buzzword of cybersecurity means a lot of things to a lot of people, but it's a very generic term. And the same with data breach. If the organization is not maintaining a lot of personal data for their customers or their clients, then data breach has a very different meaning for them. Cybersecurity could have a very different meaning for them. So it's certainly something that's a topic, and it is a risk that needs to be monitored all the time. And it is showing up regularly on audit committee's agendas, whereas several years ago, it was probably two or three times a year, and now it's just a regular item.
That's very interesting. So you're saying that you have to right-size the risk assessment to your organization and clarify the things that you're hearing in the environment in order to communicate effectively with them so that they can understand your organization. Is that correct?
I couldn't have said it better myself, Karen. And the traditional risk assessment process revolved around what are our top 10 risks and having a management team rank the priority of a subjective list of top 10 risks. What we've started to see and started to hear is that the management team comes to the table with their list of top 10 risks and then posts them on a wall or in a document. And as a team, all of the members of management now go through those top 10 lists and start to pull out where they see the risks are prevalent to the organization to come up with something that's much more comprehensive than starting with a list that may or may not capture where all of the items to be considered are within the organization.
If I may add to that, Karen, I think some of the risk today that the board is understanding in technology is not just technology within. It's technology among their partners that are using their information or providing them information or hosting information for them. Boards are understanding the information supply chain and how that risk is spreading across organizations, and they have to get the comfort on that IT risk, not only within their house for things such as security, but also with their vendors and the other service organizations.
That probably takes a lot with figuring the complexity of board compositions and audit committee compositions. Is that right, Audrey?
Yes. I would say the boards are asking the questions first and foremost about cybersecurity, but then they're also having an increased awareness on the responsibility that they still have as a company for protecting information of their constituents and what that security is going to be as well.
Wow. That brings me kind of to the next point, Audrey. Have you encountered where the cybersecurity threats have prevented other investments in the business, and how has that affected your communication with the audit committee?
The audit committee communication has been escalated in those situations when a threat or an event has occurred. We've seen the complete redeployment of resources to take care of a breach event, and that redeployment is obviously taking them away from other strategic initiatives for the company. The measure on the loss on those initiatives is not always measured out specifically. The measurement of the loss as a result of a security threat, if you look at some of the studies most recently by IBM, the average total cost of a data breach has gone up 23% since 2013. So the cost is there, and it is disrupting business initiatives. So what we see the boards asking, how are we preparing?
That's good. David, can you explain some of your experience with this?
I haven't seen the initiative stop, but to add on to Audrey's, I think what companies are doing is just really trying to understand where the risk areas are. It's interesting that there's many companies out there that don't really understand what are their number of servers and databases they have, where are all the IP access points that the organization has. So the first point, they're really the board wants to make sure that management has that understanding, because obviously you cannot secure all security threats if you don't understand and have an inventory of all your assets and exposure points. So if a company hasn't been doing that, I've seen lately they spend a lot of time doing that, as well as in the middle market space, spending a lot of time on intrusion detection, doing some testing around that, updating their plans if they are to get breached, to deal with how to fix the matter and get their systems back up and running. You know, probably 10 years ago, DR plans were the hot item. People were, now have detailed plans. They're testing them yearly. Now we're seeing the shift towards incident response plans and starting to see organizations test those on a yearly basis as well to be prepared.
So both your disaster recovery, your DR, and your incident response will help you with these risks?
It will help in the sense of business interruption. So if you are to have an incident, hopefully you're better prepared to get back online after determining where the exposure was and fixing it and getting back to business as usual.
And this is what the audit committees are interested in hearing about?
They want to hear about, do they feel that management is prepared to deal with these situations? And having that third-party independent opinion, if we've done an assessment, they're very interested in understanding and having that assurance from a firm.
Great. Torpy, how about you? Have you encountered any cybersecurity threats that prevented investments in business initiatives?
Agreeing with Audrey and David, I've seen a redeployment of investments versus a pullback. The redeployment is occurring because threats are presenting themselves in different ways all the time. So where an organization may have started out in the beginning of a year with the intention that they were going to purchase a solution, they may have reconsidered and now are going to outsource the monitoring and the management of threat detection, threat prevention to an expert. And the vice versa, that can happen. Another area that we can see investments being redeployed is through the prevention of shadow IT, where embedded within an organization, some users, end users, get frustrated because they want to use a tool within the organization to perform their work, and they don't want to go through the normal procurement channels, or they don't want to have to deal with the IT department to get what they want because it takes too long in their eyes. What happens is that they go down this route and expose the organization to security threats because they don't understand the architecture of the entire environment. And it's almost a catch-22 situation in that they don't employ the use of the IT department because it takes too long, but then they start down the path of trying to implement something and get stuck or get stalemated, and they have to call IT to help them, and then IT asks them, well, why did they purchase that or where did it come from? And they say, well, they explain the situation, and the IT department explains to them that the reason the IT department doesn't have time to help them is because every department's doing the same thing and they're trying to put these fires out, and they're not able to be proactive in looking at the landscape, evaluating these tools for the business so that they can leverage them in an effective manner. So, you know, it's very hard for an audit committee to really feel like they've got their finger on the pulse of everything that's going on, because there's these types of risks being presented to the organization every day all across the country. So I see the investments just being redirected versus not being deployed at all.
Wow, it does sound like a catch-22. So how do you boil that down for something that's digestible to an audit committee? Can you start to answer that, Audrey? How do you boil down the cybersecurity threats, DR, disaster recovery, other things like shadow IT? How do you boil all those concepts down so that you can get to the audit committee to really concentrate on how to deal with the risk mitigation strategies for that?
With the cybersecurity, what I often, let me just talk in general a little bit about what's often being reported. The first initiative that's happening with the audit committees and the boards is giving them the transparency on what's going on with security, and then letting them know what is being protected, what are the actions being taken, what are the threats they've incurred so far. And with that, explaining further how they're looking forward to continue the protection of the company, their information within the company and among the vendors. So that's where we're communicating first with the transparency, and that's with cybersecurity. Then on the overall technology front, we communicate on how the technology enables competitive advantage, how we're using information to its fullest extent. The use of information today is the powerhouse of a business, and that is where the board is most interested in how we're getting the value out of that information, which is driven by the technology.
So it sounds like kind of telling the audit committees about what they should be aware of and what management is doing about it. Is that correct?
From the risk perspective, yes. From the risk perspective for the audit committee, so there's two things. You're talking to the board about the competitive advantage and the value of technology, but with the audit committee, talking more about the risk and letting them know what we're doing in the protection and letting them know what efforts are being put in place and what's been thwarted to date.
Yeah, because it sounds as if you balanced it to all the threats, you wouldn't be able to represent the mitigation strategies that are in place.
Right. You have to boil it down to the top threats, the top things that we're spending money on, et cetera, and then provide them trust in you as IT and trust in you as management who's educating people on how to keep security, that you're taking care of the many other things underneath that have to be in place to protect the company and provide the security.
Wow. It's quite a big job to balance all of that. What should the audit committee members be asking you about, David?
Yes, I think that one of the big things I've started to see that audit committee should be asking about is just how are they understanding cybersecurity at their companies. So, you know, as they get updates on their regular financial reporting and different aspects of that, is the same thing happening with cybersecurity? We're starting to see a trend now where there might be someone, whether it's a CISO or CIO, that are reporting to the audit committee on a quarterly basis around how they're dealing and monitoring with cybersecurity. Did they have any events that they discovered, monitored, even if they didn't breach the organization, just giving them an aspect of the type of activity that's happening. So seeing that a lot. Also, they've been asking about just understanding, again, comparing how they're doing with their peers. So they enjoy having that perspective from a firm that, you know, is touching many different organizations, just asking how they compare. as it relates to cybersecurity or IT spend, understanding the things that they've done, just to get that kind of warm, fuzzy feeling that they're on par with their competitors and doing the right things.
Torpy, is that consistent with what you have experienced?
Audit committee is always looking to the audit department, whether it's insourced or outsourced, to give them the big picture view of where they need to be concerned, because the audit department has the unique advantage of cutting across the entire organization and being able to understand where those risks are presenting themselves and whether management has done the job it needs to do to either mitigate those risks, accept them because they are at an acceptable level, or insure against them. And we can present that to the audit committee so the audit committee can understand what the landscape of the entire organization looks like and where is IT fitting into that, and give them comfort that they don't have to assume that because a threat is present that management has not done anything about it. Oftentimes, management has done a commendable job to address a risk or a threat, and we are the communicators of what management has done to make sure that the audit committee can feel comfortable that they're not exposed, or vice versa, that if there is an exposure, we can bring it to light so that they can address it and make sure that it's monitored appropriately.
Audrey, what about you?
The other things the audit committee should be asking about, other than just cybersecurity, are two main things. How does our technology enable a competitive advantage? And are we using our information to its fullest extent? Those are the most common things I've been seeing asked.
Good. Well, we have one last question, and I'll go around the room again to ask, what has the audit committees most appreciated about what you have contributed to their thought leadership and understanding? Audrey?
First and foremost, coming from accounting firms and advisory groups within the accounting firms, they appreciate our independent perspective. We're there on behalf of management. We're there as part of their independent audit group. So we're given an independent perspective. We're not there to sell them a piece of hardware, et cetera. So they love that independent perspective. They've also found that some of the frameworks that we're developing to help them assess their third parties and service organizations have been very useful in helping them stay ahead of the curve when it comes to technology and protecting their information.
Wow. It sounds like it's really important to have these communications with audit committees. Would you agree, David?
Yes, very much so. I think to echo Audrey's comments, I think they find most important the independent perspective, and then also just again the view from the perspective we can provide of they want to know where their competitors, other organizations, how are they dealing with IT risks, just some recommendations that we see from dealing with not just one company but many companies out there.
It sounds like you really have to put a lot of thought into what and how you're going to communicate with the audit committee. Torpy, would you agree?
I would agree that we have a challenging job in trying to present what makes the most sense for that particular audit committee. And each audit committee has its own personality, and we have to adapt our message to the personality of that audit committee, because some may be much more savvy than others. Some may be operating in an industry that's much more regulated than another industry. And the hot buttons, the things that they are concerned about, are where we need to make sure we're communicating well so that they feel comfortable that risk and controls within the internal control environment are present and we understand where they are and what that picture looks like for their organization. The four common themes I see running through most of the work we do are communication is an issue or lack thereof, redundancy of tasks where two departments or two people are doing similar jobs and don't know it, not using IT to the fullest extent. So the organization has made a huge investment in IT, but they're only using part of it because end users haven't been trained or they never leveraged the tools within the IT IT investment because they weren't aware of them. And the last thing is redundancy of data within an IT environment. So that happens very commonly when an organization goes through a huge acquisition mode and or they change software, where something as simple as your vendor master file could have one vendor that's represented three or four or five different ways because of different people entering data different ways, even though it's for the same vendor. So those things, although they may not always rise to the level of an imminent threat, are things that prevent the organization from working efficiently. So we have a job of not only presenting where are the threats, but where are the opportunities for the organization to improve. And as you mentioned, it's a tough job to be able to communicate that in a defined period of time. We don't have a lot of time in front of audit committee members, so we have to maximize that opportunity to present them the picture they need to see. But I think that's the challenge that we all relish and we are very good at and can bring to the table, which is an expertise that the IMTA division of the AICPA really shines in.
I completely agree. I really appreciated your time on your perspectives on talking to the audit committee. I really think that I understand how to balance communication to the audit committee and make the most use of my time with them. Any other closing remarks, Audrey?
No, thank you for your time, Karen. This was very well done.
Torpy?
I really enjoyed participating on the panel, and I thought we addressed a lot of the common themes that audit committees are dealing with.
David?
I appreciate the time, and no further comments. I think this was well done.
Great. Well, thank you very much. On behalf of AICPA Information Management and Technology Assurance Division, this has been Karen Percent, Audrey Catcher, David Wood, and Torpy White discussing information technology and the audit committee. To access more information and resources on information technology assurance and risk, please visit AICPA.org/IMTA/resources. I also highly encourage all section members and CITP credential holders to review the electronic IMTA news to keep you updated on the latest news, advocacy, and events. Visit AICPA.org IMTA News for the latest edition. Thank you very much.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.